I'm Gerald Foss, and I'll be reading you Daughters of the Forgotten Storm, a YA fantasy by Frederick B. Halloway. Let's begin. Chapter 1, The Knot I Can't Untie. The Molly's lament shuddered beneath Maris Vane's boots, her hull groaning against the mooring lines like a horse that knew the race was coming. Maris tightened the last knot on the jib and spat over the side into the churning gray below. You're going to lose that line before the first buoy. Caius Flint leaned against the rail of his own skiff, the Salt Scar, tied up two berths over. His grin was all teeth and confidence, the silver rings in his left ear catching the sickly half-light of the storm barrier. He'd tied his jib with a fisherman's bend, show-off knot, slower to release, prettier in the book. I'll lose it when I want to lose it, Maris said. Which is never. You're too heavy-handed for a real blow. He tapped his own lines. Feel the rope, feel the wind. Don't fight either. She bit back the retort building in her throat. Caius had been crewing on storm skiffs since he was tall enough to reach the tiller, same as her. But he'd never had to haul cargo nets up the gantry lifts for 3 years to pay for his own haul. He didn't know what heavy-handed meant when your hands were the only thing between you and the fall. Save the advice for the losers, she said. I'll need something to remember you by. His laugh followed her as she stepped onto the dock. The salt-crusted planks familiar as her own floorboards. The gantry sea stretched east toward the barrier, a wall of churning cloud and lightning that stained the sky the color of a fresh bruise. Stormhaven crouched at her back, its terraced buildings climbing the skeleton of the old lighthouse like barnacles on a whale's rib. The Aeromancer spire rose above everything, a needle of black stone that seemed to drink the light. Captain Jorah Kell waited at the end of the dock, his wooden leg thumping a rhythm against the wood. He held her wind chronometer in his gnarled hands, the brass casing warm from his pocket. You checked the starboard stay? He asked. 3 times. The jib lines? 4. He grunted, handing her the chronometer. His eyes, the same gray as the sea on a dead calm day, held hers a moment longer than necessary. You don't have to do this, Maris. There's honest work in the Chandleries. Safe work. Safe work won't find him. The words came out sharper than she meant. Jorah's jaw tightened, but he nodded once, the way he always did when she brought up her father. 7 years since Elias Vane had taken his skiff into the remnants and never come back. 7 years of Jorah telling her the sea took what it wanted, and the living had to stay alive. She clipped the chronometer to her belt and climbed back aboard the Molly's Lament. The other racers were already casting off. 3 skiffs today, herself, Caius, and a nervous-looking girl named Hetty Morrow, whose father owned the biggest chandlery on the lower tier. Hetty would finish 3rd. The only question was whether Maris or Caius would take the certification. The windward flag snapped to attention on the Aeromancer's spire. Maris's pulse hammered in her throat as she cast off the mooring lines, the Molly catching the breeze like she'd been waiting for it all her life. The start was chaos. 3 skiffs dove into the wind shadow of the barrier, the sails cracking as they caught the ragged gusts that bled through the storm wall. Maris kept her weight low, one hand on the tiller, the other on the mainsheet, feeling the Molly's every shudder and groan through her boots. The first buoy was a speck of red half a mile out, bobbing in the gray chop. She took the inside line, cutting close enough to the barrier that her teeth ached from the static in the air. The hairs on her arms stood up. The thrum of the barrier vibrated through the hull and up her spine, a low note that made her bones feel hollow. Inside the churning wall, shapes moved, faces pressed against the invisible boundary, mouths open in silent screams, storm wraiths. The old sailors said they were echoes of people the forgotten storm had swallowed, their consciousness caught in the wind forever. Maris had never believed that, not really. But she never looked at them for long either. Hetty dropped back, her sail luffing as she misjudged the angle. Caius held his course, matching her speed, his hull riding the swell with that fluid grace he had, like he'd been born on the water instead of just raised on it. You're too close, he shouted across the gap. I know what I'm doing. She didn't entirely. But the Molly knew. The skiff answered every adjustment, every shift of her weight, like a living thing. Maris laughed into the spray, the salt crusting her lips, the wind tearing at her coat. This was the only time she felt right. When the deck was tilting and the sea was close enough to taste and the sky was doing its worst and she was still standing, she rounded the first buoy 2 lengths ahead of Caius. The red marker flashed past, close enough to touch. She could hear him curse, the sound carrying